Will the Senate please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prezansky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here?
A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Johnson, Betsy Johnson, will lead us in the pledge. With the president. In honor of our invocation today, we have a special guest in honor of President's Day. It is my pleasure to introduce our third president, the President Thomas Jefferson, of course, who is our own Senator Jason Atkinson. President Jefferson, will you address us, please?
You may be seated. It is the custom of the President of the United States to take as much time as he needs. However, the President of this august body has limited me to 4 minutes. I am the only President whose name is on the chamber. I am there not because I have visited I am here because I have purchased your land, and I have sent you Lewis and Clark. I believe that political offices are acceptable here as elsewhere whenever a man does cast a longing eye on them, rottenness begins to set in on his conduct. And I also realize that of reading history, most bad government results from too much government. And we have lots of lawyers here today. It is the trade of lawyers to question everything, yield nothing, and talk by the hour. I am also often reminded, and you quote me as saying, that I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing, and it's necessary in the political world as storms in the physical. It also is medicine necessary for sound government. But I want to conclude a tradition that I reminded the good Senator Farioli was started with me when, as a brand new freshman senator, the Democratic Party had just done a fantastic job of celebrating Martin Luther King. We were at that time in the majority, and it was cast upon me to proceed and preside over President's Day. Some of you were not here. If you recall, I had the good Senator Fisher dress up as Abraham Lincoln and preside, and then I asked the good Senator Tommy Hartung to say, "Senator Fisher, I knew Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was a friend of mine, and you are not an Abraham Lincoln." Last regular session, I will conclude with my good friend, who is now the Labor Commissioner, and a brief reading about two of the greatest presidents to have led our country. After serving two presidential terms, both in 1801 through 09, 200 years ago, Jefferson and President Adams each express to third parties that their respect for each other and their desire to renew their friendship. You see, they were bitter enemies for years. Adams was the first to break the silence. He sent me a letter dated on January 1st of 1812, in which he wished me a happy new year and many new years to come. I responded with a note to him in which I fondly recalled we were fellow laborers in the same cause. The former revolutionaries sent on to resume their friendship over the next 14 years of correspondence during their golden years. But it was on Independence Day, July 4th, 1826, at the age of 90, President Adams lay on his deathbed while the country celebrated Independence Day. His last words were, "Thomas Jefferson still survives," but he was mistaken. I had passed away 5 hours earlier on Independence Day at Monticello at the age of 82. Happy President's Day to the Oregon State Senate.
Thank you, President Thomas Jefferson. I ask you to sit down again, please, and maybe you wish to talk to us later, President. We would like to hear that if you do. It's my pleasure to introduce our next invocator. It is the President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who is our 35th president. President Kennedy, would you please speak to us?
Well, thank you, President Courtney, members of the Oregon Legislative Assembly, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great honor to be with you this morning, especially under the difficult circumstances in which you find yourself today. I want to share with you a few reflections from my own book, Profiles in Courage, and hope they may prove inspiring to you as you proceed on your difficult journey with vigor and perseverance. Many people face personal decisions involving their integrity, but few, if any, face them in the glare of the spotlight as do those in public office. Few, if any, face the same dread reality of decision that confronts a senator facing an important roll call vote. When that roll is called, he cannot hide. He cannot equivocate. He cannot delay, though that vote may decide his political future. Each man must judge for himself the path he will choose, which step will most help or hinder the ideals to which he is committed. He realizes that once he begins to weigh each issue in terms of his chances for re-election, once he begins to compromise, away his principles on one issue after another, then he has lost the very freedom of conscience which justifies his continuance in office. For democracy means more than just popular government and majority rule, much more than a system of political techniques to flatter or deceive powerful blocks of voters. The true democracy, living and growing and inspiring, puts its faith in the people, faith that the people will not simply elect men who will represent their views, but will elect men who will exercise their conscientious judgment, faith that the people will not condemn those whose devotion to principle leads them to unpopular courses, but will reward courage, respect honor, and ultimately recognize right. For without belittling the courage with which men have died, we should not forget the acts of courage for which men have lived. The courage of life is often a less dramatic spectacle than the courage of a final moment. It is no less a magnificent mixture of triumph and tragedy. A man does what he must in spite of personal consequences, in spite of obstacles and dangers and pressures, and that is the basis of all human morality. To be courageous requires no exceptional qualifications, no magic formula, no special combination of time, place, or circumstance. It is an opportunity that sooner or later is presented to us all. Politics merely furnishes one arena which imposes special tests of courage. In whatever arena of life one may meet the challenge of courage, whatever may be the sacrifices he faces if he follows his conscience, the loss of his friends, his fortune, his contentment, even the esteem of his fellow men, then each man must decide the course he will follow. The stories of past courage can define that ingredient. They can teach. They can offer hope. They can provide inspiration. But they cannot provide courage itself. For that, each man must look into his own soul. As our great president, Theodore Roosevelt, once observed, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, which at best, if he succeeds, he knows but the feeling of high achievement. And if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, members of the Oregon Assembly. It's been a real pleasure to be here, remembering that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own.
Thank you. Let's go. I want to thank Senator Metzger and Senator Axton for their preparation and hard work to so that we could honor President's Day. And Senator Atkinson, your willingness to put on a period clothing, that's very well. Looks very good on you. So thank you very much, both gentlemen. Thank you. We're now honorary pages. Courtney Heine and Matt White, Natalie Calhoun are with Senator Devlin. Deontay Dorn is with Senator Schrader, and Evangela McVicker is with Senator Burdick. Ibrahim Malsawi is with Senator Verger. And these are all our honorary pages. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to each and every one of you. Much of the work of the Senate depends on you, so it's an honor and privilege to have you here. The courtesies of the Senate who's going to help us? It's Senator Ferrioli. He had a birthday on Sunday. So we need to come together and to sing happy birthday. So who wants to lead that? Senator Morris, you have a good voice. I know you like to do that. So, Senator, this is Senator Ferrioli's belated birthday song, Happy Birthday, which he Had yesterday, I believe. Is that right, Senator Farioli? Yesterday was Senator Farioli's birthday. So here, Senator Frank Morris is approaching his desk, and, well, Senator Frank Morris is all alone. So, Senator Frank Morris, no one will join you, so you better start singing because no one's joining
Happy
you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ted. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you. Again, well done, Senator Frank Morris. Thanks you for helping us there. The courtesies now, Senator Larry George, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two courtesies, if I could. First is Austin Miller, who is sitting at my desk. Austin is the son of a staffer on the House side, and he's shadowing me today. He's an eighth grader at Wood Middle School in Wilsonville, plays lacrosse, and enjoys studying Spanish. And he will be, and I ask that courtesies be extended to Austin Miller, if you could.
You have another one, too?
I do. Sitting on the side aisle is my sister, Cheryl Mueller. She is the vice chair of the Cottage Grove School Board, and she is here in the building today with a lot of school board members from around the state. And I would ask that his courtesies be extended to my sister, Cheryl, over on the sidebar, and if we could. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Austin and Cheryl. Thank you very much for coming to the state capitol, your state capitol today. We hope you have a good day. We'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to each and every one of you. Recognize Senator Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I would like to welcome two Grant High School students who are my job shadows today. They've taken their holiday off to be here at the state capitol. Maura is a sophomore from Grant. She's 15 years old and is an on-point dancer. She's interested in most things academic, and she enjoys talking politics with her stepdad, and she would like to be a doctor one day. And also I'd like to welcome Alicia, who is a freshman at Grant High School. She's also very interested in politics. She volunteered with both Hillary Clinton's and Barack Obama's campaign. Her favorite hobby is reading. She loves school but doesn't like homework. And she's also here today to job shadow me, and they're over at the side aisle, so I'd like to welcome both of them to the Capitol.
Is it Laura or Maura?
Maura.
All right, Maura and Alicia, thank you very much for coming today. We hope you have a great time in the state capitol. An honor and privilege to have you. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Frank Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that you extend courtesies to my guest today, Ian McElroy, a former constituent of mine who lived in Corvallis and did property development. He's presently a constituent of Senator Devlin's, but he is spending the day with me in the Capitol to understand better what we do. So, Mr. President, please extend courtesies to my guest, Ian McElroy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Senator Frank Morris. Ian, thank you very much for coming on the floor today. It's an honor and a privilege to have you, and I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Thank you. Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Mr. President, if you could offer courtesies to a group of students from Arbor School of Arts and Sciences. They're 5th through 8th graders. Arbor School is a private kindergarten through 8th grade school in Tualatin, and these students are actually students of Representative Ben Cannon, who teaches at Arbor when the legislature is not in session.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Arbor students, are they in the chamber, do you know? Are they? Yes, they are. Okay, the back there. Okay, all the students from Arbor, thank you for coming to the Capitol on your day off. I hope you have a good day here. It's an honor and a privilege to have you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Burdick, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I have my very first honorary page today, Evangel McVicker. She's over there in the green skirt by the door. She's a 10th grader at Valley Catholic School, and she's involved in theater and also is a member of the student council. So I'd like courtesies extended to her. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I did extend courtesies to the Senate earlier. So, Evangel, thank you very much again for being here. For the courtesies of the Senate, remonstrances. Recognize Senator Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you'll recall, we met some 25 years ago, Mr. President, when I was the student body president at Western Oregon State College, and you were the legal counsel to President Dick Myers. I think over the 25 years, not a lot has changed on my side. I remained probably overly brash, more than candid, like yourself, like to use historical parables in their rhetoric, and frankly enjoy debate because it's part of what makes democracy successful, Mr. President. Last Thursday, I became aware of a rumor after the floor session, and Mr. President, as you know, rumors are like wildfire. They spread quickly unless we go out and suppress them. It came to my attention that I may have, several weeks ago, offended the entire Senate Revenue Committee during one of my testimonial periods downstairs there. I'd like to take the public moment now to offer an apology if I did offend the Revenue Committee to Senator Burdick, the good chair, along with the majority members, and to Senator Morris, the vice chair. I tend to get carried away at times, and again, if I did offend those members of the committee, I offer a humble apology. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Further remonstrances? Message from the House, please.
Mr. President, I am directed by the Speaker to inform you that the House has passed House Bills 5015, 2172, 2174, 2247, 2249, 2251, 2353, and adopted House Joint Resolution 8.
Reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees, in accordance with SR 8.551 committee.
We didn't finish with the message.
Mr. President,
without objection, I will return to the message from the, was it this House? Is this in the House? In the House. Please continue.
Okay. Mr. President, I am directed by the Speaker to inform you that he has signed House Bill 2157.
Are we now finished? Senator Burdick, for what purpose do you rise?
Request a return to remonstrances, Mr. President.
Without objection, we will now go to under the order of remonstrances.
Thank you, Mr. President. My Vice Chair and I, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of the committee, appreciate my good colleague's remonstrance, but we know that we have a really tough session going here, and I personally do not think any comments were out of line. People feel very passionate about these issues, but I do appreciate the gesture, and if an apology is offered, and I will accept it, but it's not needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. We will now return to the regular order of business. We are under reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 13 was distributed to members February 13th, and number 14 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State's report and is so ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions, action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation, introduction of the first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Joint Memorial 9, urging Congress to adopt proposed amendment to United States Constitution that requires balanced federal budgets and to submit amendment to state legislatures for ratification. Senate Joint Memorial 10, urging Congress to expand definition of local education agency to include federally recognized tribes. Senate Joint Resolution 22, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution to limit awards of non-economic damages in medical liability actions. Senate Bill 530, relating to pandemic influenza, appropriating money and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 531, relating to statutory construction. Senate Bill 532, relating to crime prevention, appropriating money and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 533, relating to shopping cart regulations. Senate Bill 534, relating to for-hire carriers. Senate Bill 535, relating to regulation of for-hire carriers. Senate Bill 536, relating to Federal Real ID Act of 2005. Senate Bill 537, relating to business practices of districts. Senate Bill 538, relating to physical education and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 539, relating to exemptions from the insurance code. Senate Bill 540, relating to drug testing of state government employees. Senate Bill 541, relating to drug testing of public assistance clients. Senate Bill 542, relating to velodromes. Senate Bill 543, relating to special motions to strike. Senate Bill 544, relating to administrative law. Senate Bill 545, relating to pathogens and fish hatcheries. Senate Bill 546, relating to motorcycles. Senate Bill 547, relating to student residency. Senate Bill 548, relating to reducing the need for long-term care. Senate Bill 549, relating to vaccinations. Senate Bill 550, relating to in-home care. Senate Bill 551, relating to reductions in funding of health services. Senate Bill 552, relating to reductions in funding of health services. Senate Bill 553, relating to education service districts.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 4 in Memoriam Hank Collins, 1951 to 2008, Senate Bill 75 relating to disability of the governor, Senate Bill 76 relating to Klamath River dams and declaring an emergency, Senate Bill 130 relating to dietitians, Senate Bill 139 relating to Oregon State Board of Nursing, Senate Bill 154 relating to Senior Prescription Drug Assistance Program, Senate Bill 311 relating to Oregon Tort Claims Act and declaring an emergency, Senate Bill 367 relating to Thomas Paine, Senate Bill 403 relating to wrongful death actions and declaring an emergency.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 65, relating to school finance and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Mark Hass.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 65 allows the superintendent of public instruction to waive or extend certain dates related to school finance reporting and state school fund payments in the event of a human-created or natural disaster that prevents districts or the department from meeting deadlines and statute. Now, this all came up about a year and a half ago in the big floods of Vernonia that ripped apart that community, including their school system, and it was discovered that there was very little leeway or discretion when paperwork or audits are late to the government. So, the way the rules are currently written, the ODE would have no choice but to withhold school fund payments, which in that case, or any other disaster you can think of, would make a bad situation worse. So that's what 65 does. It gives the superintendent flexibility to adjust those deadlines in an emergency. It is a straightforward, simple plan that is a change, we think, for the better. Senate Bill 65 passed unanimously out of the Senate Committee on Education. Please join me in support.
Thank you, Senator Hass. Is the discussion or the measure? Senator Hass, you wish to close? Question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 65. Those whose opinion the bill shall pass will say aye. As the names are called, those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Senator Devlin.
Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Pruszynski.
Senator Pruszynski, go on.
Did he vote? Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney.
Yes.
Pruszynski. Excused, Carter, Monroe, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 65, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 81, relating to performance security of lottery contractors.
Recognize Senator Metzger, please.
You from your Senate Committee on Education and General Government were passed out with unanimous support. The surety industry has changed since this section of statute was adopted in 1985. This bill simply updates ORS 461.430 so that it is more in line with current public contracting statutes and modern industry practices. As amended, SB 81A expands the types of performance security instruments that the Oregon Lottery can accept from lottery contractors. In addition to performance bonds, acceptable security instruments will also include letters of credit, certified checks, or cash deposits, all of which can be more secure, more effective, and less expensive. This change will enhance lottery's ability to conduct its business and will provide benefits to potential lottery contractors and manufacturers. This bill has no fiscal impact, and there is no known opposition. The Senate Committee on Education and General Government recommends its passage.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Discussion of the measure? You wish to close? Question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 81. Those in the opinion of the bill shall pass and say aye. As the names are called, Those opposed, no. Clerk will please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Stingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Pazansky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Monroe. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 8-1, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill, please.
Senate Bill 83, relating to devices for playing state lottery games.
Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Federal law, Title 15 of the United States Code, Chapter 1172, makes it unlawful to transport a gambling device unless a state has enacted legislation that exempts the state from this federal law. Current Oregon law exempts video lottery game terminals only. Senate Bill 83 extends the exemption to all other state lottery game devices for consistency in statute. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion of the measure? You wish to close? Question arises upon a third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 83. Those the opinion bills will pass, say aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk will please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pazansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Monroe. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 83, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 96, relating to terminology describing veterans.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 96 passed the Senate Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs. Colleagues, this is one of our veterans' bills. As you know, there are 350,000 veterans in the state of Oregon. 80,000 of them are enrolled in the VA system. And by being enrolled in the VA system, they bring $1.12 billion in assistance. Well, that means we have 270,000 veterans that are not involved with the VA system. And we know, especially with the results of the veterans coming back from Afghanistan and from Iraq, that there are a lot of issues that our veterans are dealing with. If all of those others were enrolled in the VA system, this could bring about $4 billion back into the state of Oregon. Right now, it's being left on the table. Over the interim, because of the issues that our veterans are having, the Task Force on Veterans Services was formed, and they brought interests together to develop a plan for maximum impact at the federal, local, as well as state levels, bringing proposals forward. This bill, Senate Bill 96, is a very easy bill. It's just cleaning up language. It refers to war veteran when it should just be veteran. It refers to the Korean conflict. It's a very easy bill, but look forward to having a lot more other veteran bills on the floor. I do urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not. Senator Montes Anderson, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 96. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Farioli. Farioli. George. Gerard? Haas? Haas? Johnson? Haas? Johnson?
Aye.
Cruz?
Aye.
Metzger?
Aye.
Monis Anderson?
Aye.
Monroe? Morissette? Morse? Nelson?
Aye.
Pazansky?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Schrader?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Ferger?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Whitsett? Whitsett? Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Yeah.
Bates?
Aye.
Bates?
Aye.
Bonamici?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Carter? Devlin?
Aye.
Thingfelder?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes. Carry only both sides.
Okay. Excused, Carter, Monroe, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 96, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 125, relating to student traffic safety education courses and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 125. This is a great bill that is about a great program. It's a program that is actually saving a lot of lives, and it's dealing with teaching teenagers how to drive appropriately and correctly. The statistics are very, very clear. If you have a student that's learning to drive, you put them through the state-sponsored and approved curriculum, you end up having a lot fewer teenage accidents. The statistics are very, very clear. What this program does, or what this bill does, is it expands the eligibility of that program to private providers of this teaching, this program. And it's all approved by the Department of Transportation. Public schools, private schools, and commercial drive schools all offer driver education courses. However, only public schools currently qualify for the Student Driver Training Program reimbursement. This program, this bill allows it for everyone. This program is supported by a $6 fee on their driver's licenses. It's a great program. Let's expand it. Let's get more of our kids, more of our teenagers into approved driver training and save lives. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill.
All right, please proceed.
Thank you. I want to speak in favor of Senate Bill 125 today. It's my understanding that many of Oregon public schools have discontinued their driver education programs because of budgetary concerns. Anything that will help get more students into driver's education, I will support here today, including Senate Bill 125. I do hope that someday a day will come when every student in Oregon will take driver's education. We are one of the few states in the country where someone can get a driver's license without taking driver's education. So please vote aye on Senate Bill 125. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, Senator Starr, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 125. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will call the roll.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas. Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Pazansky. Pazansky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yeah.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Thingfelder. Farioli.
Aye.
Excused. President Courtney.
Yeah.
Excused. Carter. Monroe. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 125, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 142, relating to professions regulated by the State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying.
Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Colleagues, in Oregon, engineers must register and may hold a certificate of registration in one or more of the following disciplines: acoustical, manufacturing, agricultural, industrial,
chemical, mechanical, civil, metallurgical, control systems, mining, electrical, naval, architectural, marine, environmental, nuclear, fire protection, petroleum, forest, structural, geotechnical, and traffic. The agency that registers engineers is the Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying. This agency also regulates the practices of land surveying and photogrammetric mapping. Senate Bill 142 clarifies that the practice of photogrammetric mapping without registering with the Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying is prohibited. Senate Bill 142 also requires persons registered in photogrammetric mapping to sign and stamp final documents, including an authorized seal. This is the Sign Your Map and Stamp It Bill. Colleagues, I urge passage.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Schrader, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 142. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Girard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Pruszynski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett,
yes.
Winters,
aye.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
no.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter, Devlin, Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Ferrioli,
no.
George, President Courtney? Excused, Carter, Monroe. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, Girard, Cruz, Nelson, Telfer.
Senate Bill 142, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 143, relating to practice of engineering exemptions.
Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. Professional engineers register with the Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying in one or more of 19 disciplines. Persons who do engineering work on residences and small commercial buildings are exempt from this registration, but sometimes they do engineering work on residences and small commercial buildings based on their registration as an engineer, even if their specialty has little to do with that type of structure. Because such work is currently exempted from registration, they cannot be held accountable by the board for faulty engineering, even though they're registered by that board. The purpose of Senate Bill 143 is to keep registered engineers accountable to the board for engineering work they do. Senate Bill 143 removes the exemption from registering for engineering work done on residences and small commercial buildings when the engineering work is performed by a registered professional engineer.
Thank
Urge
you.
My vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, Senator George, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 143. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their name are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Pruszynski. Pruszynski. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
No.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. President Courtney. Not answering. Pruszynski. Excused. Carter. Monroe. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. Girard. Cruz. Whitsett. 22 ayes.
Senate Bill 143, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 144, relating to the State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying.
Chair recognizes Senator George.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 144 authorizes the Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying to use National Organization Standards examinations in evaluating applicant qualifications. National organizations such as the National Council of Examiners for Engineering and Surveying provide engineering examinations for many state registrations. Although the Department of Justice has advised the agency that they already have the statutory authority to implement this, the board prefers clarity in the statute. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not Senator George, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 144. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as your name are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Pozanski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Monroe. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 144, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 151, relating to administration of estates.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
And Senate Bill 151 comes from the Judiciary Committee for the Department of Human Services. When a person who has received public assistance dies, it may be possible for the Department of Human Services to recover the cost of care or assistance from the person's estate. That is done by filing a claim in a small estate proceeding. Senate Bill 151 allows but does not require the Director of the Department of Human Services to appoint private attorneys who can act as appointed personal representatives to file a small estate affidavit for a decedent who has received public assistance or institutional care. In the past, the Department of Human Services has used private attorneys for this purpose. This bill makes the authority to do so explicit. I urge your aye vote.
Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 151. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will read the bill or take the roll.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Pozanski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, President Courtney. Excused, Carter, Monroe, voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, 23 ayes.
Senate Bill 151, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 162, relating to disclosure of information about residents of adult foster homes.
Chair recognizes Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 162 comes from the Committee on Human Services and Rural Health Policy. A very simple bill that prohibits the Department of Human Services from disclosing residential, confidential, and protected information in abuse and neglect reports. Client demographic language to be redacted includes any physical, mental health diagnosis, conditions, gender, financial information pertaining to payment for care and dates such as birth dates and dates of admission and so on. This is in accordance with the federal law. We already redact some of this information, but we are now going in complete compliance with the federal statute. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Morissette, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 162. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pazansky. Pazansky.
Senator Pazansky.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Monroe. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 162, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 212, relating to administration of criminal fine and assessment account funding for victims assistance programs and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill comes from your Committee on Judiciary. There is no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and comes out with a due pass. It simply rewrites the criteria for programs distributing victims assistance funds to city and county offices for victim services, and it adds a requirement that provides notice to victims of their rights as soon as practical. It basically aligns the legal language to the existing practices. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator, you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 212. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pazansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. What's it? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Bates? Bonamici? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Carter? Devlin? Dingfelder? Ferrioli? George? Girard? Haas? Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
President Courtney, excused, Carter, Monroe, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 212, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 286, relating to foreign country judgments.
Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill comes out of Judiciary on a 5-0 vote. This bill basically is going to update the current system that we use for foreign judgments and how they're recognized within this state. The Uniform Foreign Country Money Judgment Recognition Act basically is going to be replaced. That started back in 1962 and our state adopted in 1977. And we're going to be enacting the Uniform Foreign Country Money Judgment Recognition Act. The similarities are very similar, but it also gives different parameters as to how these judgments are going to be recognized, what is the requirement from a plaintiff to have it registered in the state. It does set a statute of limitations of 15 years, and this actually comes from a very large working group on a national basis called the National Conference of commissions on uniform state laws. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Prozonsky, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 286. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. President Courtney. Excused, Carter, Monroe, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 286, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 53, relating to prevailing rates of wage and declaring an emergency.
The chair recognizes Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 53 addresses three technical issues in state prevailing wage law, created by case law and by the passage of House Bill 2140 in 2007, which significantly amended the state's prevailing wage rate law. While Oregon Chapter 652 requires that workers be paid on an established and regular payday, the Oregon Supreme Court found in North Marion School District v. Axtar that prevailing wage law, ORS Chapter 279C, does not require that prevailing wage be paid in any particular time frame, just that the appropriate wage is paid to workers on covered projects. Senate Bill 53 addresses this issue by adding language to specify that all prevailing wage rate wages owed to a worker must be paid to the worker on the contractor's regularly established and maintained payday as defined in ORS 652.120. The other two issues addressed in Senate Bill 53 resulted from the passage of House Bill 2140 in 2007, which significantly amended the state's prevailing wage law. In summary, Senate Bill 53 is really a technical fix and cleanup for three prevailing wage rate issues and deserves your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Telfer, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 53. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, or not answering, President Courtney, sorry, not answering, Morse, excused, Carter, Monroe, answering no, Boquist, Ferrioli, Girard, Cruz, Whitsett, 23 ayes.
Senate Bill 53, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 55, relating to ineligibility for public work contracts and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill comes out of the Commerce and Workforce Development Committee on a 5-0 vote. Basically, what it's going to do is update our current law as it pertains to prevailing wages. Specifically, what it's going to be dealing with is contractors currently can be put on an ineligible list when they fail to pay the wages that are required under the prevailing wage. But there is no sanction for them when they falsify the records that they send in to show what they have actually paid. So what this bill will actually do is set up what we would call a penalty point. If you falsified records regarding what you've paid on the prevailing wage, and it turns out that you have that it's shown that you have in fact falsified those records, you will not only be ineligible for being on the list to do this work, it will have a 3-year penalty for that situation, and that's exactly what most of us felt that needed to be done, and because of that, we have an emergency clause to put it in effect upon passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Prozonsky, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 55. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As their names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, President Courtney, excused Carter, Monroe, voting no, Cruz, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 55, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 92, relating to research conducted by the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training.
Chair recognizes Senator Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 92 came at the request of Governor Kulongoski on behalf of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training and passed through the Judiciary Committee with unanimous consent. The department serves more than 30,000 public safety professionals across the state. The department trained more than 1,000 students in basic training classes in 2008, and more than 15,000 people participated in training programs on a regional basis across the state. Currently, the department is allowed to stimulate research, but not directly conduct the research. Senate Bill 92 would allow them to conduct the research both internally and with external partners. The bill would also include emergency medical dispatch and telecommunications professions to the services it is already authorized for. This bill has no fiscal impact. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Whitsett, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 92. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As their names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters. Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney, excused, Carter, Monroe, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 92, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 99, relating to conditions of probation.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
President, SB 99 comes from your Committee on Judiciary. It has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. Came out 5-0 with a due pass. Authorizes a probation officer to test a person on probation with a history of drug or alcohol abuse for the presence of these substances in the person's system by a method that includes blood test or any other method of testing, as well as the current allowed testing of breath and urine. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 99. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Pozanski. Pozanski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Telfer. Ferger. Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Atkinson, oh. Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter, Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Girard,
aye.
Girard,
aye.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Metzger,
aye.
Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, President Courtney, excused, Atkinson, Carter, Monroe, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 99, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 100, relating to Department of Corrections.
Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 100 comes out of the Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. This is a bill that's actually going to do some updating of what many people remember as Senate Bill 1145 some years back, which set up the Community Corrections partnership between the state and counties. Currently, there is no requirement and means for making certain that the money that is supposed to be coming from the state going to the counties to provide the services that we have delegated to them through this partnership is actually staying up with the cost of providing those services. So Senate Bill 100 will, in fact, provide a guidelines and set up a time frame starting in 2012 for an evaluation and thereafter every 6 years to determine exactly what is the cost for providing these services, making certain that we, the state, are providing and fulfilling our side of the duty of providing the adequate money that's necessary to conduct these programs at the local level. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator, do you wish to close?
No.
He does not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 100. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Aye.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Pozanski. Pozanski.
Senator Pozanski.
President Courtney.
Yeah.
Excused, Atkinson, Carter, Monroe, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 100, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 110, relating to death benefits paid in workers' compensation claims.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 110, which deals with an unfortunate tragedy of people who are killed on the job and, through no fault of their own, are leaving their families, their children, sometimes alone in the world. This bill comes to you from the Senate Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development, but really, more than that, it comes to you from the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. A bill was passed last session, and there are some of the sponsors here in the chamber who I think will be talking about the tragedy of workplace death shortly. That bill asks the Management Labor Advisory Committee to study the benefits that we are currently paying to people that are killed on the job and determine if changes are needed. And those changes are presented here to you in Senate Bill 110. In particular, there are three changes made by this bill. First, the study that MBLAC did found that the current burial benefit was not substantial enough to cover the wide range of costs incurred by families in a death. So the bill increases the current burial benefit amount to 20 times the average weekly wage. It also changes the term burial to final disposition of the body and funeral expenses and provides for payment of the full benefit amount regardless of the actual expenses. Second, also as part of the MLEC study, MLEC identified a particularly vulnerable and tragic group of people affected by a workplace death. And these are the children of somebody who's been killed on the job. And then, in addition to that death, also loses their other surviving parent and so does not have either parent. The change the bill makes is to create a monthly benefit for this group of children to allow them to remain in school and in many cases to graduate from college if they are aged 18 to 23. And finally, the third change that the bill makes relates to when someone dies as a result before they've been paid their permanent partial disability benefits. And under current law, the insurer pays the full remainder of the benefit to the worker's spouse or their dependent children. However, if a worker dies without having a spouse or children, right now the insurer only pays the lesser amount of the disability benefit or the burial benefit. So this bill clarifies that if the worker dies without a surviving spouse or children, the full amount of the remainder of the disability benefit is paid to the worker's estate. The bill does make some increase in benefits, but the economic impact was determined to be so small that there will be no increase in premium rates and no effect on the worker benefit fund. Colleagues, the report on which these recommendations are based also mentions the families of two workers who were killed on the job who came forward and told their stories. One of those was the Wilberger family. I think that you will hear a little more about. In addition to that was another family who lost a daughter, the Behurst family, whose daughter Tara Lynn Hall was killed in a truly horrible workplace accident. We have made remarkable strides in workers' comp in Oregon by improving safety. We have ensured that fewer and fewer people are killed on the job. But in the tragic event of those people that still are killed, this bill updates our death benefits and ensures that they will be remembered and their families will be cared for. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 110.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill came about because of Senate Bill 835 that I drafted last session, and I'm pleased that the MLAC folks at MLAC have actually done a very good job here. If you have an opportunity, the report that they've prepared is quite good. They spent a great deal of time on this. This is certainly an issue that has needed revision in a long period of time. Many of you know I've had many fights with MLAC. I feel that we could do better in terms of having more diversity on this committee, but we don't. We have what we have, and I think the members have changed significantly enough that they've realized we've had some concerns here in the legislature about our workers' comp system. I've been working on workers' comp reform for most of my legislative career, and I'm glad to see that we have come to some finality here with regard to these issues. As the previous speaker indicated, this particular bill came up because of the murder and abduction and murder of Brooke Wilberger in 2005. Her parents, Cammy and Greg, live in Senator Prozonsky's district, but Ms. Wilberger teaches in my district. They came to me as someone who's been working on workers' comp issues, asking me to do something about this sad state of affairs that does not treat injured workers or deceased workers with dignity and respect. In fact, Ms. Cammy Wilberger, her mother, told me in September of 2006 that a workers' comp fatality is the cheapest accident and that a human life should be worth more than that. Gives me the shivers when I talk about that, colleagues, because a human life is worth more than that. Gosh, help us if we ever become an injured worker in this state, and I shouldn't have to tell you that. You should have to say to our employees across the state, gosh, help you if you do become an injured worker, because we're here to help you, not we're here to make your life miserable. So we have done a good job of retooling this statute and making sure that benefits are provided as they should be, and I would certainly encourage an aye vote today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to explain a little bit about why I voted no on committee and explain some additional work that I think needs to be done to the bill. Senate Bill 110 makes three changes, all of which are important. The first two are very important changes, come out of the MLAC committee, especially the benefits for college-age surviving children, which are contained in the bill, both excellent provisions. The third part of the bill basically deals with future dependency, and a question that is difficult that workers' comp programs around the country are working on, which is somebody dies without any dependents, what happens? And MLAC struggled with this, if you'll read their report, and they sort of punted a little bit and kicked it to the estate of the deceased worker. There was some compelling personal stories about family members who were not dependents, who had unsecured debts. And so, but the way the bill is drafted right now, this money would flow from our workers' compensation program as a type of life insurance into the estate of the deceased workers. And any type of unsecured debtor, whether it be Chase Manhattan, whether it be Citibank or whatever, could then go in and grab those dollars that came from our workers' comp program. I have requested from legislative counsel a set of amendments, which I'm going to send over to the House chair on this bill, which would limit the third section of this, the future dependency, to family members who have unsecured debts. So we can fix the problem that was brought up that justifies this portion of the bill. But more importantly, what it does is it limits the scope of the workers' compensation program to that, which is a disability program rather than a life insurance program. I will tell you that MLAC was, if you read the report, was unsure which direction to go on this issue of future dependency. And so I've talked to the agency, and they are going to review the amendments that I'm going to propose and take them back to MLAC and see if, on the House side, if there is any effort to see that narrowing down the definition here and tightening up the sideboards would not be the correct step. So I'm going to be voting no on Senate Bill 110, but I do believe it's an important piece of legislation that eventually needs to get through this building. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. President. Colleagues, I wanted to just respond to the last comment that was made. It is true there are three recommendations in this bill. The issue that's raised in Section 2 of the bill, which is an unpaid award to somebody who dies before they've received their complete permanent partial disability benefit, really is an award that is owed to that worker when they're alive. When they unfortunately pass away, that award under this bill will be paid to the estate of that worker that would normally be a family member. I think that is the appropriate thing to do. And finally, Mr. President, I want to mention the fact that on April 28th is a day we call Worker Memorial Day. That is the day when there will be a ceremony reading the names of all of the people that have been killed in this past year in an on-the-job injury. I think a fitting memorial in addition to the reading of those names will be the passage of Senate Bill 110, which resulted from hard work on the part of people in this body, but even more from the suffering of the families of those people that have been killed. So I would heartily urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 110.
Thank you, Senator. A question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 110. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prezansky, Rosenbaum, President Courtney. Boquist. Excused, Carter. Absent, Boquist. Voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett. 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 110, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 370, relating to limited judgments.
Chair recognizes Senator Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 370, sponsored by the request of the Oregon State Bar Elder Law Section and passed through the Judiciary Committee with unanimous consent. Currently, Oregon probate law allows for the entry of an order for attorney costs in relation to probate matters such as estates, guardianships, conservatorships, and protected proceedings. In some instances, the court may enter a judgment instead of an order. The judgment secures the right to payment and interest for the attorney, where the more common order does not. There is confusion in the courts as to when an order is granted and when a judgment can be granted. In addition, there is currently no remedy available under a court order if those costs are not paid. The Elder Law Section of the Oregon State Bar has proposed Senate Bill 370 to amend ORS 111.275 to allow the entry of a limited judgment award awarding fees and costs to an attorney and to the fiduciary in probate matters. The bill also amends ORS 125030 to allow the entry of a limited judgment awarding fees and costs in a protective proceeding. The proposed language would not increase the attorney fees or fiduciary fees that are awarded. Rather, the amendments would clarify that the court has the authority to enter a judgment on the award of fees in any circumstances in an estate, a guardianship, a conservatorship, or other protective proceeding. This would allow the attorney and the fiduciary to have more secure position and a better likelihood of receiving payments of the award at fees. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, Senator Whitsett, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 370. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr. Telfer. Verger. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pazansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Voting no. Cruz. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 370, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 58, relating to discriminatory practices involving real property and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 58 comes to you on a unanimous vote from your Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. It was requested by the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries. The Bureau of Labor and Industries contracts with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to investigate cases of fair housing discrimination. Maintaining this contract requires that Oregon law show substantial equivalency to federal law. This important contract allows Oregonians to have their cases investigated locally rather than regionally, which means shorter investigation times with greater accessibility to the process for complainants and respondents. Currently, there are provisions in Oregon's law which may not conform to federal standards. Senate Bill 58 is one of two technical amendments which will make state law substantially equivalent to federal law and ensure the continuance of the contract. Senate Bill 58 makes Oregon law regarding the modification of a dwelling occupied by a disabled tenant consistent with federal law. Specifically, it exempts disabled tenants from the requirement to restore the interior of a dwelling to pre-modification condition if the landlord did not condition the modification on restoration of the dwelling to its condition after the disabled tenant leaves. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Burdick. Do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 58. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer. Verger. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Pazansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 58, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 59, relating to housing discrimination and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Mr. President, colleagues, Senate Bill 59 is a companion bill to Senate Bill 58, which was just carried on this floor by the good senator from Portland and Tigard. This bill comes to us unanimously from the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. The Bureau of Labor and Industries, as the Senator explained, contracts with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to investigate cases of fair housing discrimination. This contract allows an Oregon complainant to have cases investigated locally rather than from HUD's regional office in Seattle. Maintaining the contract requires that Oregon law show substantial equivalency to federal law. The change in Senate Bill 59 allows interveners to recover costs and reasonable attorney's fees in administrative hearings involving housing discrimination. This change makes Oregon substantially equivalent to federal law as required by the contract between BOLI and Department of Housing and Urban Development. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 59. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Stingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pozanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Voting no. Cruz. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 59, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 109, relating to sellers of travel.
Chair recognizes Senator Walker. Is Senator Walker on the floor?
She is on the floor. What is this bill? Oh,
I know what this bill is. Thank you.
Good.
Wow. Okay, so I didn't think we were going to get this far down on the agenda today. I beg your pardon. Senate Bill 109, colleagues, this comes to you from the Consumer Protection and Public Affairs Committee from the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And the reason I'm carrying this bill is because this gets rid of a program that I helped start in 1999. And it puts $70,000 back into the general fund because we're closing out the program. So here and now I would like to put first dibs on that money for some of the add back programs that I have. So we'll get that on the record right now. Senate Bill 109 would eliminate the certification of sellers of travel program and transfer that current balance of money, as I indicated, into the general fund beginning July 1, 2009. Oregon began supervising the travel industry in 1989 when the Attorney General was given authority to monitor travel tours. That regulation changed to a mandatory registration for most Oregon sellers of travel in 1993, and then it went to a voluntary certification program in 1999 under the legislation that I helped pass. At that time, it was Senate Bill 218. And what was interesting is that that legislation for me was important because my young daughter had unfortunately gone on a tour with other high school classmates that ended up being a tour quite different than what parents thought it was ever going to be. That tour ended up creating great deal of problem, Mr. President and colleagues, and after we dealt with it on the state level by turning these folks into the Attorney General's office, there was an assurance of voluntary compliance obtained. I then went on further on the national level because this tour company had bilked several students in several states out of money and had done unethical behavior, committed unethical behavior. We went on to the Federal Trade Commission. This company later went bankrupt and was prohibited from engaging in this practice ever again. What we did at that time as a result of this program and the publicity surrounding this work was to enlighten parents about these kinds of trips that their children were going on. School districts then had to change their policies and make sure they were not sanctioning these kinds of things to their students and parents unknowingly. So all of that brings us back around to the fact that we now have no voluntary agency that certifies organizations under this program. The Sellers of Travel program has seen less problems that we have in the past. The Attorney General is able to take care of these
concerns now under the Unlawful Trade Practices Act, and it should be noted that the Oregon travel industry has been very proactive in resolving complaints about failed bookings or excursions for Oregon school groups and other group travel. So, colleagues, I am okay with putting an end to this program. I think Oregon consumers are protected. I think we've all been enlightened about the problems that can occur if we don't keep our eyes and ears open, and I would urge your aye vote on this bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Walker, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 109. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Walker. Walker.
Senator Walker, you.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Pozanski, Pozanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, President Courtney, excused Carter, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 109, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 127, relating to financial responsibility requirements for motor vehicles.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 127 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and placed on Tuesday, February the 17th calendar.
Senator Verger has moved that Senate Bill 127 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and placed on tomorrow's February 17th calendar. To your motion, Senator.
This will give all of the senators more time to consider the bill.
Thank you, Senator. There is no objection. It is so ordered. Without objection, the chair will move Senate Bill 172 to the foot of today's calendar. And we'll go to the next bill, Senate Bill 204, and the clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 204, relating to construction contractor bonding.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Colleagues, Senate Bill 204 is a bill that came out of your Business and Transportation Committee. It clarifies how payments are made from contractor surety bonds. In 2007, the legislature created two endorsements for contractors' licenses, residential and commercial. Each classification requires a separate bond, either a residential bond or a commercial bond. If a claim is made against a residential contractor, the CCB may process the claim directly. If a claim is made against a commercial contractor, the claim is processed in court and then sent to the CCB to order payment. The only thing not covered in a specific law governing payment for the bonds. Senate Bill 2004 solves this problem. Under the bill, residential bonds will be used to pay complaints against residential contractors. Commercial bonds will be used to pay complaints against commercial contractors. Industry representatives supported this bill. Urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Starr, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 204. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Monroe, Morissette, Morse,
Nelson.
Aye.
Pruszynski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Question. Senate Bill 204, I received a constitutional majority, declare passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 206, relating to persons regulated by the Construction Contractors Board.
Recognize Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. Senate Bill 206 comes to you unanimously from your Business and Transportation Committee. We've got a great audience here that's paying close attention to me. Senate Bill 206 does two things. It makes confidential certain personal information that's submitted by contractors to obtain a license. It also eliminates the need for very large businesses to submit this information for all their owners and officers. We're talking about driver's license information and Social Security numbers. Urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now arises upon the third reading of the final passage of the Senate Bill 206. Those defend your bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please read the clerk. Call the roll.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Aye.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George. Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Pruszynski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 206 has received constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk, read the bill.
Senate Bill 244 relating to Oregon State Bar and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Mr. President, colleagues, Senate Bill 244 comes to you with a unanimous due pass recommendation from the Senate Judiciary Committee. This bill amends the Bar Act, ORS Chapter 9, and makes three changes. First, it increases the number on the board. The Oregon State Bar is currently governed by a board of 12 lawyer representatives elected by active members of the bar and four public members. And for purposes of electing these lawyer members, the state is divided into regions, but of course there has been population growth. The board last reviewed the configurations in 1997, but now they've studied several options and concluded that the most equal representation can be accomplished by adding two lawyer members to the board, reconfiguring the existing regions, and adding one new region. That new region includes Washington County and Clackamas County, where, of course, there's been significant growth in population. The second change regards unlawful practice of law. With some limited exceptions, current law prohibits a person from practicing law unless the person is an active member of the Oregon State Bar, but there's an exception that lawyers licensed in other states are permitted to provide legal services in Oregon under certain circumstances on a temporary basis. That's the model that exists in other states. The bar is authorized to enjoin people who practice law in violation of that provision, and they've noticed a situation that's not addressed by existing law, and that's a person who's licensed in another state, and they come here and continue to represent clients from other states. The bar believes that they should be licensed here if they're practicing law here, and in fact they've done research and concluded that a lawyer actually practices law in the place where the lawyer is physically located while performing those legal services. And this bill resolves that ambiguity and also expands the definition of person to make sure that they're covering all the entities that are practicing law here in Oregon. The final change in Senate Bill 244 is to repeal some statutes that are no longer used regarding solicitation of lawyers, but not to worry. The removal of these statutes does not permit solicitation. Since 1970, the conduct of lawyers addressed has been governed by the rules of professional conduct. Adopted by the Supreme Court in accordance with the statute and enforced through the bar's disciplinary system. The restrictions actually give a broader reach than the old statutory scheme. We believe that, Senate Bill 244 will enhance bar governance, promote equal representation on the board, and clarify ambiguity in the existing statutes. I urge an aye vote on Senate Bill 244A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Walker.
Mr. President, I can't see. Is this an attempt at energy savings? I can't read my bill.
They will be coming back on. It just takes a while. Thank you very much. Question now by upon third reading the final passage of Senate Bill 244. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Go on.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezansky. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Bates. Haas. Answering no. Atkinson. George. Girard. Cruz. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 244, I discussion, the majority declared passed. Senator Cruz, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, vote explanation.
Please give it.
Colleagues, and most of the boards in the healthcare arena, when we expand them, it's to get more public input into the board. This one leaves the public input the same and makes the predominance of lawyers even greater.
Clerk will read the final bill. Senate Bill 172.
Senate Bill 172 relating to regulation of tax practitioners.
Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under current statute, anyone who prepares, advises, or assists in, for consideration, the preparation of personal income tax returns in Oregon, unless they are a certified public accountant or attorney, is required to be licensed as a preparer or consultant by the Board of Tax Practitioners. SB 172 extends the license requirement to those who prepare corporate tax returns, partnership tax returns, S corporation tax returns, trust tax returns, and estate tax returns for consideration. Many of these tax preparers are already licensed, and they are held accountable for doing the personal income taxes, but not held professionally accountable for negligent or incompetent work because of corporate tax returns, partnerships, S-corps tax returns, trust tax returns, and estate tax returns because they're not currently within the jurisdiction of the board. SB 172 is expected to increase the accuracy of corporate returns from these of people who are licensed by the board. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is further discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 172. Those opinion bills passed, say ayes. Name to call those opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette.
Senator Morissette.
Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Prezansky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Oh, Atkinson.
Oops.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Cruz, Whitsett, 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 172, I received a constitutional majority, declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 5015, relating to State Financial Administration, appropriating money and declaring an emergency. House Joint Resolution 8, declaring President Abraham Lincoln as honorary territorial governor for February 12, 2009. House Bill 2172, relating to relief from sex offender reporting. House Bill 2174, relating to relief from sex offender reporting. House Bill 2247, relating to liquor licenses. House Bill 2249, relating to alcoholic beverage service permits. House Bill 2251, relating to service permit application endorsements. House Bill 2353, relating to special meetings of shareholders.
Transmitting the President's referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2365, relating to novelty letters and declaring an emergency.
Pass to the calendar. Third reading of House measures. Other business, Senate reports to the SR 8.403 committee referral list number 37 distributed to members February 13th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal of State Report. So ordered. Announcement. Recognize Senator Boquist.
Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent to change my vote on SB 83, and it will not change the outcome of the vote.
Are there objections? Hearing none. What is your vote, please?
No, Mr. President.
Senator, let the record show that Senator Boquist has changed his vote from yes to no on Senate Bill, was it 8-3? What was it? Senate Bill 03. Thank you. Recognize Senator Bonamici, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please join us today for the Rally for Kids in Schools. The rally organizer is Stand for Children, and the rally endorsers include the Oregon Business Association, Ecumenical Ministries, and many more. See the flyer on your desk. Come outside and show your support for kids in schools today. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ferrioli, please.
Mr. President, with your permission, I return to courtesies.
Please do so.
Thank you. Mr. President, I wanted to ask you, on behalf of the Senate, to extend courtesies not only to my staff and your staff in the building and the Senate staff, but all of the people who made Saturday's celebration possible. It was an incredible event. And I've been told, I thought there was about 3,000 or 4,000 people in the building. I guess one of the news reports said over the course of the day, upwards of 10,000 people. But it just went wonderfully well. And, Mr. President, I know you feel strongly about this, as I do. The staff came in, did an absolutely marvelous job. They worked really hard on making everything work. Facilities services did a great job. Virtually everyone from the National Guard Band to the Oregon State Police who did the flag ceremony just came off wonderfully well. And, Mr. President, in your inimitable way, would you please extend courtesies of the Senate to all those staff members?
Thank you, Senator Ferriero. Yes, I cannot thank enough all the individuals in my office and Senator Ferriero's office, as well as staff throughout the building, who worked so hard to make it an extraordinary day in Oregon's history. Senator Ferriero is correctly. At one time, they had to shut the Capitol, literally shut the Capitol, and only allow people in by number as to number of people that came out of the Capitol. And I think we expected 3,000, and the reports are coming in there. As much as 10,000 people came here on Saturday to participate in an extraordinary birthday celebration. And I'm still hearing tremendous compliments on the commemorative session that we held here on the Senate floor. I was just delighted those that were here. It's a great effort and a great day, and I have to tell you, it did make me feel very proud to be a member of the State Senate, to be a member of the Oregon Legislature, and all of you should feel that way. If you get a chance to thank the different staffs in the building, please do so on an individual basis, because they stepped up big time over and over again, both in terms of their preparation as well as being here that day. So, job well done, my fellow senators. We look good, but most of all, Oregon looked good, and I think all of Oregon was very, very proud on Saturday. And as you know, it's just the beginning of a number of events that will take place throughout the year. Thank you very much, Senator Ferrioli, for allowing me to make that statement, and also for your very generous statement as well. Recognize Senator Floyd Pazansky, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under the order of courtesies, I'd like the Senate to give courtesies to young Jake sitting next to me. Jake's a fourth grader at Crest Elementary School. He told me that on President's Day, I believe it was for last year, he did a report on JFK, and he was sad that he didn't get to see our good senator provide the JFK speech that he did today. But one of the things I asked Jake is to what is it he finds important for him, and he said in his school that they think the environment and issues involving around that is important for him as a kid growing up in this state. So please extend courtesies to Jake, and he's accompanied here today by his mother Karen and brother Sam, who are on this side aisle. Thank you.
Okay, Jake and brother Sam and mother, we're real pleased you could be here today. Stay around. It's your state capital. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. Thank you. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. My Democratic colleagues, we have caucus. Be in the caucus room no later than 12:05. We will release you about 15 minutes later if you want to go to the rally, and then we will come back to caucus about 15 minutes after that. We have a number of items we have to address, so please be in caucus no later than 12:05.
Thank you, Senator Davin. Recognize Senator Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, many of our members are not still on the floor, but there's a little change-up for tomorrow. We're going to be having our caucus at 10:15. It's a little early. And we're hoping that we can get the cooperation of chairs to let folks leave their chairs, to their committee meetings a little bit early so that we can do our pre-session caucus. That seems to speed things up on the floor, Mr. President. So 10:15 caucus tomorrow in the usual Republican caucus office on the third floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. If there's no further objection, if there are no further announcements without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:30. Coming in 10:30 tomorrow, 10:30 Tuesday, February 17th.